Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean Hyken covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. He's with us on the bench now. How you doing, Sean?
Doing all right. How about you?
I'm all right, brother. So, of all this stuff that's going on, where not just the awards and everything, but the whole, you know, is KD and Kyrie trying to hook up? Or, you know, Genie started finally talking about Magic leaving as a big surprise? Or where's Kawhi going? And, you know, the Knicks being fined as the big stories of the day in the NBA. Which one intrigues you the most?
I mean, I think the one with the biggest long-term implications, obviously, I think right now is probably what happens with Kawhi Leonard this offseason, just because, you know, with Kevin Durant having the torn Achilles, he was obviously going to be the biggest free agent of the summer, but he's not even going to play next year. Whether he goes to the Knicks or the Nets or stays in Golden State, he's going to be a non-factor next year. Whereas with Kawhi Leonard, you know, if he stays in Toronto, they have to be considered the favorites to repeat. But if he leaves Toronto, then suddenly the East is wide open, and whichever team he goes to in the West, like let's say he goes to the Clippers, then they might have to be considered the favorites kind of up there with any of those other teams in the West. So I think that's the one that's going to be the most interesting to me as we head towards July 1st.
Sean, which, like, are you excited about, like, the Summer League? And, you know, obviously everybody wants to watch Zion and R.J. Barrett in that game July 5th. But, like, who are you really excited about beyond the obvious that you want to watch this summer?
I'm really interested to see how Darius Garland looks against NBA competition, the number 5 overall pick to Cleveland, because he's a guy that, you know, he kind of rose up a bunch of draft boards kind of late in the process. But, you know, he only played 5 games at Vanderbilt because he had the knee injury, and then he left school to train for the draft. So he's a guy that people just haven't really seen a whole lot of, and there just hasn't been a whole lot of tape on him. So he's a guy I'm really interested to see as far as the other guy in the Summer League.
So today Bazemore went to Portland in that deal for Evan Turner. What do you think of the Hawks after that great draft they had? That's what I thought it was. I thought they did a hell of a job.
I'm really intrigued by the Hawks. I think they're going to be a really interesting team this coming season. I don't know if they're quite a playoff team yet. They might be a year away, but I like a lot of what they have building. They like, obviously, Trae Young has some star potential. And then some of their other young guys, you know, whether you're talking about John Collins or Kevin Huerter, they're obviously very high on DeAndre Hunter, who they drafted with the number 4 overall pick after trading up. I think their coach, Lloyd Pierce, is a really good coach. That's a team that's going to be interesting to me.
So what about, like, the Celtics with all the guys that they're losing? Kyrie, it's pretty obvious. Everybody's saying Horford, Marcus Morris. What do you think of that team now with all their, frankly, problems?
Well, I mean, there was clearly something very wrong with their chemistry and just with that whole situation this year. You know, you look preseason, they were kind of seen as, if not the title favorites, then for sure the favorites to win the East. And then just everything just went haywire this whole season, and now it seems like they're going to basically be coming into next season with a young team built around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, their two kind of, you know, core prospects. And then I don't really know what else they're going to put around after other than those two and Marcus Smart. They might re-sign Rozier, they might not. They just kind of have a lot of decisions to make. I don't think they're going to be in that title contention tier of teams in the East. I think that might still be a playoff team just because the bottom of the East standings is still kind of weak. But they're definitely going to take a step back next year, obviously, with how much talent they're losing.
Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report with us on the bench. What do you think of the Nets' chances, seriously, of like actually pulling this off and getting Durant and Kyrie, if all that's true? Do you believe in that?
Well, it seems pretty clear that they're the front runners to get Kyrie Irving at the very least. I don't know about getting both of them because there's really so much mystery with what Kevin Durant is going to do at this point because of the Achilles injury. That just completely throws everything off. He might say, okay, I'm going to take the Warriors' money and rehab on their dime and then try to get a trade later. Or, you know, he might go to the Knicks or the Nets. But like, if you're the Nets, you're trying to take the next step in terms of contending. You made the playoffs this year for the first time in several years. Do you really want to basically throw away a whole year of basically tying up that much of your cap in Kevin Durant? Even though he's Kevin Durant, do you want to basically say, okay, you know, we made the playoffs, we have this good young core, we're going to just throw away a year of just not having Kevin Durant healthy and then hope that he comes back the same off of a torn Achilles the next year? I mean, it's kind of a gamble. I mean, obviously you take that gamble because it's Kevin Durant, but there's a whole lot of moving parts there.
So have they announced this thing yet tonight? Who's the MVP? Who do you think it's going to be? I see they gave Gobert, D player of the year, Budden, Holzer, coach. We've seen the other ones. Defensive player, like I said. And then, you know, all the ones they've already given out. Sweet Lou getting six-man third time, et cetera. And then Siakam and Doncic. What do you think happens from this point forward? Who gets that MVP?
I think probably Giannis is going to win it just based on, you know, talking to some of the people who have voted and, you know, just kind of knowing what the discussion was around that time when the ballots were due. I would guess Giannis is probably going to win it at this point. I think it's going to be pretty close between him and Harden, with Paul George kind of a distant third because he tailed off sort of after the All-Star break when his shoulder started bothering him. But I think it's going to be Giannis and then followed closely by Harden. That's probably what's going to happen. It's going to be in a few minutes, I think, that they're going to give that out.
So do you believe that Doncic and Porzingis will finally be on the floor, that we're going to see Kristaps finally playing in Dallas?
He's been healthy enough to play probably for like a couple months. It's just a matter of and I think he wanted to play. It was just a matter of, you know, they weren't going to make the playoffs, so they were just kind of holding him out to be on the safe side. I would expect that he's going to be a full go next year.
So what did you think of the whole thing with Genie now finally admitting the shock of Magic leaving? And I've been actually surprised after the fact, you know, when they did the deal, like, he started chiming in again. Like, dude, if you're going to leave, just leave. I mean, what are you still giving everybody advice on the Lakers after you're going? I'm serious when I say this. Like, if you're going to quit and leave, then just leave. I don't understand why he's still getting involved in their business, which is what he's doing. He's constantly tweeting about, hey, good move, do this, do that. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, when he announced that he was stepping down, part of his reasoning was he wanted to just be able to tweet about the NBA again. And, I mean, obviously he has a lot of ties to the Lakers and a deep connection to the Lakers, being one of the greatest players in franchise history. So, of course, he's going to weigh in on it. But I think, you know, the ability to just kind of tweet freely about current events in the NBA was a big part of why he wanted to step down in the first place. I certainly agree with what Genie was saying, that it was a shock, because I think he told the public and he told the media that he was stepping down before he actually told her. But I'm not at all surprised that he's still tweeting about it.
How about AD, though? Do you think, like, because I think he's unbelievable, and I think he's going to be their legitimately best player on the floor every night. Like, well, he can do whatever he wants. I've gone to see him play several times like you have, and he really is an amazing talent, and I think he's going to make them really good. Just having him there, seriously, with LeBron and Kuzma, I don't really care who the hell else is on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see who else they get, because, I mean, the thing is, you still have to build the rest of the team, and LeBron is 35 and just missed a bunch of time last season with the groin injury. So, you know, you see them now trying to carve out space to add another max player. I don't know if they should add another max player. I feel like they should, if they get $25-30 million in cap space, I think they should spread that out among a couple of different, you know, $8-10 to $15 million a year players, instead of just trying to get one of those, you know, max salary guys. Get some depth just in case one of those guys goes down, you have some other players, because otherwise you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then, like, whoever else they sign, and then, like, 9 minimum guys.
So, Sean Hyken with Bleacher Report, the Pelicans now, after what they pulled off, not only getting Zion, but, I mean, this trade with L.A. was so juicy for them. Long-term juice, too. Like, it's crazy, the size of that deal. What do you think of them now? They instantly, in my view, become fascinating.
Well, I mean, they became fascinating the moment the lottery balls fell the way they did for them and they got Zion Williamson. I think this trade looks very different with them having won the lottery than it would without, because if, you know, they do this trade and they had stayed where they were supposed to stay in the lottery and they were like the 8th pick or whatever, then suddenly, you know, you're saying, okay, well, this Pelicans team, like, they're franchise players going forward, are Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and whoever they draft with the 8th pick. Like, that's not a great outlook for the future. But now you have Zion Williamson and whoever you're drafting and whoever you get with these picks, and then Lonzo and Ingram, those guys are all around Zion Williamson, who people think is going to be, you know, the most transcendent prospect to come into the NBA probably since Anthony Davis. So I think they're definitely going to be interesting just for that reason.
So how much do you think, like, so of that Nick team, we're going to see RJ Barrett play a ton with Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., and then Trier, and Mitchell Robinson? That's who the team's going to be? Because, I mean, even if they get Durant, let's say hypothetically, he's not going to play for a year. Will that hurt or help RJ Barrett's game? Because that's basically the team that they're going to throw out there.
Yeah, that team is, I think, going to be pretty bad again, no matter what happens. Because, like you said, even if they get Durant, then that's a play for down the road for the season after that, where you know, you're hoping that the following season is when you make a splash. That team, if you look at that roster, like, it's going to be pretty bad next year, no matter what happens.
I like the Kings. I like that team with Bogdanovich, Bagley, Fox, Hield, Giles, even, I mean, Swanigan, Stein. I like Cauley Stein. I really love that team. I think they're young and talented. They got a bright future. I believe that.
Yeah, they're one of the surprises of last season. And I think they are, you know, De'Aaron Fox is a guy that I really like coming into the draft, and he was kind of disappointing his rookie season, but then he took a huge step forward the following year. That's a team I really like, too. I'll be really interested to see if they're able to take that next step and get back into the playoffs for the first time in. I think it'll be 14 years at that point.
So what happens to the Sixers with, like, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris?
I think Jimmy's going to be back. I think after the way the playoffs went, he basically carried them for a lot of those games. You know, against the Raptors and against Brooklyn in the first round, he was probably their best player for a lot of the playoffs. So I think they're probably going to max him out and, you know, give him the money, and he's going to stay. Tobias Harris, I'm not sure. I kind of feel like they might decide maybe they don't want to bring him back for the kind of money that he's going to command in the open market, and they need to get some depth, because you kind of saw during their whole run that they really only had like five playable players when it came time for the playoffs, and so you really need to get more depth pieces off the bench. But I think Jimmy Butler will be back.
So if you were to say, have you ever seen any of your buddies, colleagues, or anyone, you know, have like the problem that the, you know, Knicks have with the Daily News? They like screw them over, and Dolan does these types of things to reporters that they don't like. Have you ever seen any of your friends get, like, you know, the whole thing, like banned from a post-game locker room or a presser or anything? Have you seen bad treatment or shoddy treatment of journalists by teams in your career so far?
Well, I haven't seen anything like the owner of a team basically freezing out one news outlet because he doesn't like the negative coverage of them. But, you know, I will say during the first round of the playoffs this year, because I'm based in Portland and I was covering the series with Oklahoma City, and I was kind of up close for the thing with Russell Westbrook where he kept saying next question to the one Oklahoma columnist, and
right,
that, you know, became a whole big thing. So I'd say that's probably the closest thing that I've ever seen up close in person. But I mean, obviously you saw the league came out today and fined the Knicks $50,000 for that, and it seems like they're going to start letting the Daily News back in. So, you know, it's obviously you don't want to ever see that happen where the organization is freezing out a legitimate news outlet because they don't like the coverage.
I'll tell you what, I think the league has become so huge off season almost more than, like, it's like the NFL now. Like, we literally, I enjoy the you know, free agency and where is this guy going, where's that guy going, and when's this deal happening. It's almost bigger than even talking about it during the season.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the traffic numbers, and they back that up in terms of, you know, when there was the most interest. Because, you know, when you get into the season, teams who are, you know, fans of teams who are really optimistic about their team going to the season, maybe they're a little bit disappointing, and now it's like, oh, I have to deal with this disappointing season. But then, you know, during the offseason, it's like, oh, we drafted this guy, he's going to be good, or we signed this guy in free agency, like, he's going to be awesome. And it's all about, like, being hopeful for the future, as opposed to, you know, when the games are going on, you're kind of dealing with the ups and downs of the season. So I can kind of understand why there's more fan interest in the offseason. It's just kind of an interesting dynamic.
There you go. And Giannis just got the MVP at the award ceremony. Great stuff, Sean, tonight. Thanks for coming on the bench. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.